The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Let me get the bad news out of the way first. There's a thing now called the Delta Plus, a new mutation of the Delta coronavirus. 41 cases of this variant have now been identified in the UK. They also, as we'll be talking to Nick Ferrari later, have seen a surge, despite their vaccinations, in the numbers on ventilation in hospitals in the UK. We also have a situation in Northern Ireland where they've had the highest number of new cases in the 24-hour period since the 12th of March, largely been put down to the Delta variant as well. And of course, remember how many people we have travelling over the border on a daily basis. And we have suggestions, as we'll talk to Paul Hackett and Mary Sharp about in a moment, that international travel could be restricted, not just that 19th of July start date that we have been told about, but also that indoor drinking and dining may not resume on the 5th of July. Professor Aoife McLysa is our first guest, though, Professor of Genetics at Trinity College Dublin, member of the Independent Science Advocacy Group. And I suspect, Aoife, there are lots of listeners who are going to be going absolutely mad hearing all of this, saying, why would this be happening if we have extensive vaccinations? If we have so few people in hospitals, why would there be the need to delay the reopening of society and international travel?
Well, I fully understand why people are going mad, because we've been in this situation for so long now, and we've been in this similar situation before, and we haven't properly dealt with this. And it is true that we should not be still in restrictions. We should be enjoying a more comfortable quality of life. The problem is that we have been relying apparently exclusively on the vaccines, that the government essentially adopted a wait for the vaccines program and has not really done anything else to prepare for the opening of hospitality and for all kinds of travel and other kinds of returning to the workplace and all of these kinds of things. And there are very practical things they could have done. Leo Varadkar earlier this week said something about, you know, it's not time to press the panic button now. And I agree, we shouldn't be panicking. We should be calmly taking steps to make things safer so that we can resume lots of normal activity. And lockdown is the panic button. And that's what you do when you've let things get so bad that you're in crisis again. So there are so many things we haven't done. The vaccines are great. We all know that, and they're brilliant, but they only work after they've been delivered to people. We are going as quickly with our vaccination program as is possible. We're essentially keeping pace with supply. So we can't ask of more of the vaccine. The vaccines work well. They're being delivered quickly. But the other things are not being done. We're not properly resourcing public health. We haven't put in, for example, proper ventilation standards for opening indoor hospitality. It's nonsense to talk about opening indoor hospitality without making those spaces safe, or without ensuring those spaces are safe.
Well, stay on the line, Aoife McLysa, because I want to ask Mary Sharp about that, owner of Brady's Bar in Waterford City. Good evening to you, Mary. Mary, are you open at present for outdoor service?
Yes, Matt. We took the decision that we would give it a go for the 4 weeks that we thought would be from the first outdoor opening to the getting ready for indoor opening.
How's it gone for you?
It depends on the weather, you know. So today is not such a good day. Yesterday wasn't a very good day. And we're a small space for our outside drinking. So it's great to see people, love to see people, but it's not a viable business at the moment, and it won't be until such time as we can do indoor and outdoor.
So what do you make of the possibility that, despite all the promises, that you won't be able to open on the 5th of July? Government sources suggesting it's 50-50. A decision won't be made until about the 2nd of July, depending on what ENFIT decides to tell the government.
I know. It's deeply worrying. Deeply worrying. And we know that NPHET have always been conservative and cautious in this. I would be with the last speaker in saying that we should be using every single resource at our disposal right now to try and get our society back to where it needs to be. This half in, half out, jump in, jump out, it's soul destroying. It's incredibly difficult. And I would do anything that I could in my power to move on from where we are right now.
What do you make, though, of what Aoife McLean says that about The real issue is to make sure that if we are going to be opening up indoor premises, bars and restaurants and whatever, that there has to be adequate ventilation.
Well, ventilation, for me, last September when we were allowed open for 2 weeks, we had all of the windows open and we would have had at least one door open, and if it allowed, we had two doors open, one in, one out, so that there was always a draft. If I could be assured that I could stay open and it was worth my while to invest in ventilation, I would do it, as I would think an awful lot of publicans would. But we're in the summer months right now, so there is good ventilation, I would feel, anyway, right now. And if ventilation became the issue for indoors, then we would have to have guidelines on things like what would the air quality be, how would you test it, who would test it. So there's all of those issues that would need to be addressed. And we're 10 days away from supposedly opening indoors. And, you know, so how and when could we get that done on time?
What if you don't open on the 5th of July? What is the impact of that going to be on you financially and even, I suppose, emotionally?
Well, we limp along, you know. We limp along. It's not a viable business. There is government support for wages, and a little later on in July, we will get some restart, like they have a different name on them this summer, grants, and again, that will be helpful. But it's not a viable business, and you know, we need to get to that place. And I think the Irish people, we've been so very good. We have, I mean, the uptake on the vaccination rate has been fabulous. We're at 60% now, and it's not enough. When will it be enough, Matt? When will we be able to move forward with our lives? And why is everything only about the vaccine? How come we're not using other things as well that they are using in other parts of the world so that they can open up and keep going with their society?
Well, wait till you hear a report from Denmark in the next hour. Back to you, Aoife McLeisa. What about the idea that's now been floated by Leo Varadkar of making sure that we use the AstraZeneca stocks that we have by giving it to younger people?
I think the reasons, I mean, so this is where NIAC, I mean, you have to listen to them as well, but for younger people, the blood clotting risk, it's low for everybody, but it becomes the balance between that risk and the risk of disease from, or symptoms and serious disease from coronavirus. It's not as well balanced as it is for older people. So I think that those reasons still stand. And I think we don't need to be rushing with the vaccination program. I think we have a very good vaccination program. It's doing everything it can. And what your other speaker there has said is absolutely true. I mean, the guidelines have not been provided for ventilation. We should be doing all of these other things. The vaccines will work. When we get to high population coverage, we potentially could achieve essentially herd immunity through vaccination when we get to very high population coverage, but it takes time. And what your other speaker there has said, you know, in terms of, you know, they need proper guidelines, is absolutely true. And we're 18 months into this now. For a long time, it's been recognized that COVID is airborne. And there has been loads of time, ample time, to make proper ventilation guidelines. And some of the technology is actually quite affordable and very practical. You can get a CO2 monitor. So it sounds like in that particular premises, it could be already well ventilated if they have opening windows and doors. And a CO2 monitor will be one proxy for confirming that. You can see that
today's first two Euro 2020 games have just kicked off.
Some leakage there from the studio. My apologies.
But you can tell, you can monitor, like a good CO2 monitor is about €200, which I think is a reasonable investment for a premises. And you can get HEPA filters if the air isn't well, if the place isn't well ventilated, you can get an air filter. And these are also affordable and generally available. So these things are very easily done, and there are structures in place for monitoring. We already know there are structures in place for monitoring, for example, health and safety around food preparation. And so this could be adopted along similar lines. And this is all very doable, all very practical. And the government has not used the time when we have been under restrictions to develop these things. The idea of the first lockdown was to buy time to do other things. And we've never done that. We've just been left with this single tool that the government uses, which is the lockdown.
Paul Hackett, I want to bring you in, Chief Executive of Click and Go. Because we're now hearing suggestions that the government may consider saying that from July 19th, it's only vaccinated people who can travel. that the other measures that are allowed as part of the digital green certificate, the EU-approved certificate, such as a negative PCR test, may not be enough. Now, how out of line would that put Ireland with the rest of Europe? How do you think people who have been booking holidays would react to now being told that?
In all honesty, Matt, there's not huge volumes booking at the moment because of the confusion about international travel, and people are holding off until they see some more definitive reopening dates. But coming back to your question, if we operate, like the digital COVID cert, just to recap, covers three things: fully vaccinated people, test negative for COVID, or recovery from COVID. I don't quite understand the medical piece or the science piece if we're not recognising PCR negative COVID tests, if we're not recognising antibodies from recovery within 9 months. You know, the CMO went in front of the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Transport last week and made it very clear that NPHET's position was PCR only and rejected antigen. Well, if we're getting PCR tests for people who are getting on aircraft, what is the issue? And this is important because the international travel piece, there's 2 points I want to make. On the international travel piece, the primary group of people who are going to be traveling are going to be vaccinated or have PCR negative tests. So we're minimizing the risk all the time. Everything that the EU have done since March on the digital COVID cert is to minimize the risk and to be respectful of the public health measures. If we restrict international travel even further, we're ignoring the reality that on this island, we won't close the border with Northern Ireland. We have a 500-kilometre open border with Northern Ireland. This Delta variant may be very intelligent, but I don't think it's intelligent enough to know to get to Ireland only by air or by sea.
And we do have an issue, apparently, that the numbers in the north suffering from this variant are increasing quite dramatically. But how do you think would it affect are standing with airlines and with the travel industry if we were to deviate from what has been agreed at EU level in relation to this digital travel cert?
The EU digital travel cert is a piece of mass harmonisation within Europe. We're only talking about European country to European country. We're vaccinating from the same pot, so we should all be vaccinating at pretty much the same level. I'd be interested to hear how things are in Denmark and how they're achieving better results than we're achieving here. It'd be great to see that and see what learnings we have from it. But it's a mass harmonisation piece. We should not be deviating from this. Like, there's 27 equivalents of NPHET in Europe, including ours, 27 CMOs, including ours. We, if we're using the science and the data, should be following the other countries, should we not? Because clearly we have to make our decisions based on the data. And my context for this is we're averaging 300 cases per day presently. We're 40 people or less in hospital presently, and we have the vulnerable vaccinated. We've already delayed the restart of international travel from the 1st of July to the 19th of July, and that's fine. That's the government's choice, and that's what they can absolutely do. And I think the logic there was to provide for a higher level of vaccination. The digital COVID cert provides for very clear guidelines on travel. Otherwise, you're testing constantly. So vaccinated people travel, tested people can travel, and people who have recovered from COVID within 9 months and have antibodies can travel. And is that not based on the science and the data?
Paul Hackett, Chief Executive of Click and Go, Mary Sharp, owner of Brady's Bar in Waterford, Professor Aoife McLeisa from the Independent Science Advocacy Group. Thank you all for being with us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.